Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flawless. That's what it's like when, remember when we had trouble with our foundations in our house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole of the kitchen fell through. We'd say into the basement.
Flawless. Oh, is she? Because your floor had gone.
Yeah, you like those jokes, don't you?
I do like those jokes, yeah. You come up with them like on the youth, on the cuff.
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's time to...
Pop open
the beer.
What you got in there tonight?
London Pride.
London
Pride. Oh, it's the Pride of London this week. Weak tasting beer. The Pride of London. What have we got here?
What's in that then?
Ops.
Is it?
It's one of them
yeast?
Where they go, it's a smooth, distinctive, malty taste with a rich balance of well-developed hop, unique yeast taste, impressively complex beer, which is funny because it just tastes like...
Yes. You remember when Donald Pleasance used to advertise Carlsberg Lager?
Carlsberg
Lager?
Yes.
Well, you remember that?
Yeah, what did he do?
I don't know. He was bald. He's definitely bald.
Was it definitely Donald Pleasance?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely Donald Pleasance. And he was, like, being all sinister. This is after he'd done Halloween, you know.
Oh, yes.
And so he'd done Halloween and he'd done all that stuff. And he thought, what's the next move I'd like to make in my career?
Yeah.
I think I shall advertise Carlsberg now. It's like very similar career path to Winston Wolfe, you know.
Oh, God, I hate those. Winston Wolfe. Hey, I'm Winston Wolfe.
Winston Wolfe, yeah.
God, that's awful, isn't
and
it?
And he thought, I've done Mean Streets now.
Yeah.
But he didn't do Raging Bull.
Yeah.
I've done Piano.
Footloose, he'd done.
Footloose, he'd done. Porky's, he'd done.
Lemon Popsicle.
Yeah, but he's had to wait. You know, till he was 70 years old now to get to the pinnacle of his career and do that car insurance stuff.
I think that about, what's his name, Jim Broadbent.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's a wonderful thing.
Beautiful work.
Presumably his wife pushes him out the door and says, you know, could you do those suppository adverts he does on independent radio?
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Oh, yeah.
How'd they go? Hello, I'm Jim Broadbent. Stick this up your bum.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's when that wonderful actress, Julia Roberts...
Oh, yeah, she's so good. She was so good in The Pelican Brief.
Wasn't she good in that?
She was so good in The Pelican Brief.
Honestly, I only need her to tell me about that gooch cream.
Oh, yes, you go and buy that by the truckload.
I've watched her in everything.
Yeah.
I've watched her in Pretty Woman, Ugly Woman, Fairly Attractive but Nice Personality Woman. Look shouldn't even be an issue, woman.
Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride.
The Stay at Home Bride.
Stay at Home Bride.
Cooking Bride.
The Cooking Bride. She's won Oscars. She's won BAFTAs.
She's won Emmys.
She's won
Grammys.
Grammys a lot. But only when she got on LBC telling me how to put two fingers in a pot of cream, rub it on the gooch, for instance,
smooth
it over. My name's Julia Roberts. Smooth it over your gooch. P.S. I was in Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. What about Pelé?
Pelé the footballer?
Yeah. And he done them knob adverts. Well, keeping your knob up.
First of all, he was the youngest ever player, 17 in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
The man has transcended sport.
Oh, yeah.
But it's only when he got on telly. Yeah,
and started telling us to take these pills counteract your winky going soft.
Yeah.
That's what I really thought. Oh, yes, sir.
Yes.
Now I can revisit all your goals you scored.
Absolutely.
With a new perspective
on the man. Oh, a new perspective. A talking of medical problems.
Oh, yeah.
In the Daily Mail online.
Oh, right. That reliable rag.
You know I like to read it. Wonderful, wonderful thing. This is true. Did you see? A doctor extracts a 16-foot-long worm.
A worm from
a man who loves sashimi, which is Chinese muck. He was a fan of raw beef. Chen, 45.
Hold on a minute. So he's a fan of sashimi and he's a fan of raw beef.
Yes, but he's not a fan of having a 16-foot worm lodged up his bumhole.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Where in the article does it say he just likes having the worm up his bumhole?
I assume he's had it removed, so he wasn't.
Right. Well, no, that could have just been. He could have come to the end of his cycle.
Oh, that was sad. Because you remember when you had that?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a tapeworm?
Well, yeah, I think it was an earthworm.
Yeah.
It was an earthworm. I had a. Like, you remember that film Tremors?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very similar to that.
Right.
And I had one of them up my bum. And it was like. But it was an earthworm, you know? And I try to get rid of it, you know, but you had to get up really early, you know.
To catch it out,
exactly. So in the end, I thought, how am I going to do this then?
How
am I going to get round this one, you know?
Would you coax it out?
Because I was busy and I had things to do and I didn't have time to, like, think about how I was going to pull this big worm out of my bum, you know. So in the end, I went down to the pet shop, bought myself a chaffinch and I just stuck that in my pants.
And
and every morning, you know, he was there poised.
The chaffinch.
And then when the worm stuck its head out of my bum,
it
just got hold of it and just
tugged it out
eventually,
eventually.
In the end, the chaffinch, I sat on it, unfortunately.
Oh.
It had already done its job by then.
Right, so you killed one bird and a worm with a stone.
My bum.
With your bum. I had, do you remember when I had that worm up my, it was up my anus?
I remember that.
And it was, it was giving me all sorts of
shit. A lot of jip, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, remember we went out to Pontins that holiday and I had my trunks on and all that.
They were quite tight, them trunks.
They were quite tight, so I'd be chatting to other holiday makers. We met Reg and Sandra,
from
Carl Shelton. And I was trying to make a good impression.
Yeah.
They'd done the holiday camp up, I remember. I said to Margaret, it's gone proper pop.
Bought
these tight speedos.
What, in celebration of the fact that Pontins had gone posh, you thought, I better get myself something a little bit more in keeping with my environment.
When one goes on holiday, on a posh holiday, one likes to parade round the swimming pool, which I did.
I know.
Chatting to Reg and Sandra. To my horror, this tapeworm thing decides it too wants to enjoy the leisure facilities.
I mean, the cheek of it is that worm had got into Pontins for nothing.
Free. Yeah.
For nothing. Like riding on the back of your bum.
Well, I looked in all the literature. Haven Holidays, Butlins, Pontins were doing a very good offer. Okay. Two kids, because we had the two kids in them days. Yeah. Mum, Margaret and me. No mention of anything hiding up your bum. Now, if you read in the small print, no doubt it would say no tapeworms, ticks.
Yeah.
No nicks, nothing.
You don't, but I mean, I've never got any cause really to put that in a small print.
Probably not.
No. It's a given that you wouldn't bring those things into Pontins.
Well, exactly.
Yes.
This worm, there was a barbecue that evening round the pool.
Okay.
I am chatting to, well, Sandra, you know, she's a lovely lady.
Oh, Regine Sandra.
Regine Sandra. To my horror, this, what I can only describe as a tapeworm, okay, starts...
Wiggling.
Yeah, coming out.
And you're thinking, oh, not here.
Not here.
Not now. Yeah. I'm in my new trunk. Yeah. There's a barbecue going on. I'm with Reg and Sandra.
That's right.
This is the last thing I need.
Yeah. And I was very, very embarrassed. You could see it sticking out the...
At the front of your trunk.
The back of my
trunk. The back of your trunk. Right.
What I can only assume everyone round the Hawaiian pool thought that I...
Got a backward penis.
Yes.
Hanging down your bum.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was wiggling around this thing.
Oh, dear.
There were mothers getting their children out the shallow end.
Oh, yeah.
Running inside.
Oh, how long was this thing?
Well, it had pushed the outwards. It was quite, you know, they were an acrylic thing.
Oh.
And they pushed
oh.
it right out by about 3 foot. You know, this thing, like tent-like. Was coming out the back of my pants.
It would all be wiggling.
It was wiggling around.
Yeah. It frightened the life out of people.
Oh, it frightened the life out of people. Oh,
it's coming out of a David Cronenberg film.
Yeah. In the end, I said to my mum, I'm going back to the chalet.
Yeah.
I went back. She got, it was like a burger thing.
Oh, off the barbecue.
Off the barbecue. Yeah. She made her excuse. She came back.
Mm.
And she sort of dangled it over.
And you're back.
That popped. I give him a name, Harry.
Yeah.
Took it back.
Well, oh, he's gone back in again.
He's gone
it?
Back in.
It's
I lowered my speed.
Little shits.
I thought,
shit.
I've given you a free holiday.
And a free burger now. Yeah, he's starting to take the piss out of me.
He's come all the way to West Sussex.
Yes.
He's had a free burger. He's enjoyed all the. He's been down to. We had bingo most nights in the ballroom, which he enjoyed.
And he's shouting house out of the back of your bar.
It's shattered house. Who said that?
Oh, no, don't worry, false alarm, mate. I'm sorry about him.
Yeah, but of course, the worst one was you and that.
Oh, cool. Well, remember when I went up to... I got up the Arctic, and
I remember.
And I don't know what I was camping up there.
Krakatoa.
You know, doing some research up there for the weather patterns and just to see how much global warming has impacted us and all that stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, and picking up bags and stuff. And so I'm up there and I thought, and it was very snowy up there on the tundra.
Yeah.
And we was down by the coast with all the penguins and all that stuff, you know.
Nice.
And where is Ben? Where is penguins? There's otters, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm sat there. I thought, oh, it's nice and warm. We are dipping the sea, you know, the Arctic Ocean.
Yeah.
I thought, I'd strip down.
Oh, sorry. Carry on.
So I stripped down, I stripped down. I thought, oh, no, I'm lucky. I'll take all my clothes off.
Yeah.
So I took all my clothes off, and I thought, well, I've got all my clothes off. It's actually very cold up
there,
you know?
Yes, it would be.
Very cold, and I don't know if I should get in that water.
Yes.
So I went down on all fours.
Christ.
And I just got my little fingers and stuff. I thought, well, I'll just test the water, see how cold it is.
Yes.
Well, I stuck my finger in the water, and as I'd done that, this otter must have just come up behind me.
Oh, God.
And it went right up my bummer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I was embarrassed about it.
Yes.
And I thought, what am I going to do? I've got it up my bum. And I thought, well, the best thing to do is probably just put my clothes back on.
Yes.
Walk back to the research centre and don't say nothing about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Anyway, I had it up there for a couple of days, and I was on the plane flying back, still wiggling about, and I could feel it, and I had to feed it some plain food because it's getting hungry.
Yeah.
You know?
The crackers and cheese.
Yeah, the crackers and the cheese and the little yogurts you get. I gave it all to him.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, this thing is starting to cost me money now, and that's no good. So I'll get home, And I thought, right, I'm going to have to get rid of it, I'm afraid. And I don't really know how you go about it. I'm not going to go down to A&E, am I?
Cool.
You know, I'm not going to go down there and say, look, you know, I'll take care of this myself. So I had a word with my mate Terry, because you know he's an Eskimo.
I know that, he's an Inuit.
Yeah, he's an Inuit. Eskimo. And he's, I said, listen, I've got to get rid of this hot out of my bum. Yeah. Any way you can help me? He said, yeah, don't worry about it. So he comes around on the Saturday and he says, well, you're going to strip down your pants. So I stripped down my pants and I lay on the bed and he pulled my pants down.
Yeah.
And I'm laying on the bed and he sat there with a fishing rod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, over my bumhole.
Right.
Like, for 2 days. And then eventually the otter just stuck its head up and he just swiped it, bang, pulled it out.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, it's quite...
Thank God.
Thank God he was here. Thank God I knew him.
Because, you know, it takes me back, because I remember when we was at school, we had all these books, you know, the tribes of Africa,
their
skill. Amazon. One of them was, in the Amazon, one of them was the Icelandic Eskimos building an igloo, going out hunting with spears and getting otters out of bums, which was always... You know, I mean, nowadays...
And when would you ever need to learn that skill,
Thank God for Terry.
And because a lot of these skills are getting lost now.
A lot
of these old tribal skills, you know, that people have are getting lost. So,
Most definitely.
Terry will pass that skill down to his boy.
Yes.
Derek, and how to fish a otter out of someone's bum.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and hopefully Derek will pass that on to his boy.
Well, this is the thing with my Margaret. I've said a lot of these skills are going. They're disappearing.
Well, we're losing them. We don't need them no more. What with the internet and wire.
You don't. And angling shops
angling
and what
shops
have you.
You've got.
But my Margaret, for many, many years, of course, she's done a lovely... She does her cheese, her homemade cheese.
Oh, she makes her own cheese.
Makes her own cheese. And, you know, she puts it in that nice gauze.
Yeah.
And she puts it just under one of her boobs.
Yeah,
and it sits there...
For 6 months.
Now, when I first met her, I was appalled. And she said to me, look... And she lifted up her boob, you see.
Yeah.
Now, of course, at first I was appalled.
Yeah.
It was a blue vein thing with some walnuts on it.
And what was the cheese like?
That was a carefully. So anyway, this cheese... been wrapped up in some gauze. Beautiful cheese come Christmas.
Was you a little bit apprehensive about tasting the cheese that had been resting under her boob for 6 months?
But it's the perfect condition. But my point is, these are the skills that we are losing.
Absolutely.
So she kept that under one knocker and then under the other.
A male, she does.
A lovely male under. So occasionally I say to her, the cheese is coming on. Any male? And she goes, there's a male. She lifts it up. A couple of pizza delivery junk mail around the other corner. But the. So you are losing these skills, you see.
We are losing these skills. Very much so.
Very much so.
Very much so, losing these skills. Yes.
I mean, for a long, long time, I've done all my own toe surgery.
Oh, did you?
Oh, God,
all your own toe surgery?
I mean, I've done, if I've got an ingrown toenail and all that sort of stuff.
Get a chisel on it.
I get a chisel, because I was taught, the kids, they don't learn it. They go off, they've got all the degrees in the world.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a lot of them. I did toenail surgery.
Well, you know, I fell off that wall when I had full frontal frontal lobe damage.
I do remember, yeah. That was shocking.
But no, it was hard. But luckily, yeah. I'd learnt them skills.
Because your dad
told
you.
My dad showed me how to, like, sew my brain up, you know, remove little bits of it with a knife.
Yeah.
And I was able to do the same thing on myself.
Yeah.
You know, and if I ever have kids, I will pass that...
Good for you.
Yeah, pass that skill on to them, you know.
Yeah. Well, good. I mean, my dad, of course, you know, he had his shed in all his...
All that stuff in there, yeah.
And all beautiful.
This is beautiful. Man cave.
Hand turning wood and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, the lathe. It's a lovely bit of metal work there. Oh. Cars, old car engines.
Yeah, old bits and bobs.
But he'd very often take me in there in his man cave.
Oh, yeah.
And he would teach me religiously every weekend how to rack up in our...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Physical order, all his dirty books.
Oh,
and that
lovely.
Is something. Categorise Razzles, go to your Escort, Club International, Mayfairs, and these are the skills.
We are losing
We're
these
losing
skills.
Them. I never touched the lathe, but I know my way
you
around the
your
theatre.
Own lathe.
Yeah.
But yes. You it's know. A real shame that we're losing these
okay.
skills.
Well,
you know,
course.
The fact is, we don't have the printed words so much
no more.
You don't need those skills.
You don't need those skills.
I mean, nowadays, a bloke's shed would just be like a shed and a desk and a computer.
Well,
and a box of tissues, I'd have thought.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we are losing them.
We're losing these skills.
Losing these skills. I mean, you talk about the printed words.
I do talk about the printed word quite a lot.
And I wish you wouldn't, because it's been the old-fashioned.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I say the printed word, but, you know, I mean, that's the only way out, isn't it? The printed word.
I
mean,
so.
The Bible's even on the internet now.
Yeah, that's blasphemy.
We don't go near there.
This is the printed word.
This
is an unknown civil servant.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see? This is also in the font of all right-wing knowledge, the Daily Mail. An unknown civil servant has been caught heading towards today's cabinet meeting.
Oh, my God.
And they always do. You can see what he's carrying.
Yeah.
In his briefing notes.
Yeah.
And it's apparent...
Well, I saw that, you know, the other day, when George Osborne...
Oh, I know.
Yes, he runs the budget and that, you know.
The budgets,
the budget. And he'd gone into number 10 with, you know, one of them papers under his arm.
I'm serious.
I've got some things to do,
you
know. And he'd gone into number 10,
and
I zoomed in on the telly with
my
magnifying glass, and I saw on his, like, documents,
he's
all these 0898 numbers.
It weren't filthiness,
because I rang them up.
Yes.
And what he was like, tarot cards and fortune people.
Oh, is that
that's what he's done.
Good God.
And he's been ringing gypsies up.
Yeah. and asking them to
sort out the budget for him.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, he has.
Are you telling me the fix we're into
is because of them?
Gypsies who are parked up in West Watford on the.
I don't know if it's them specifically, but it's like he's been getting a lot of advice from them people on 0898 numbers.
Really?
You turn over tarot cards and tell him, yes, you should probably cut something from there and you should probably stick it in there.
Really?
And
buy more pegs. Yeah.
And then stick some more stuff in there and all that. And he's been going, okay. That's what I do then, you know.
So it's like reduce interest rates, increase mortgage rates, and
nick a couple of washing machines.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh,
God. Oh, well, no, when I saw, I mean, I was disgusted.
Was you? Unlike you, usually unshockable.
Very liberal.
Very liberal.
Very liberal.
Bit, blimey, not half.
The last time they had an expose like this, they had Michael Gove.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
Michael, isn't he good?
Oh, he's a very good-looking man.
He was ever so good in Britain's Strongest Man, wasn't
he? Yes, he was.
So Michael Gove comes out of number 10. He had his briefing papers.
All right.
I had a magnifying glass like you.
You zoomed in.
I said, pause that, Mark, because we got Virgin Media. She paused it. No, never mind that now. Just pause it.
Pause the video.
So I got up and I went out and I got my magnifying glass. I went up close to it and I thought, what on earth is going on? There were some briefing papers about Ofsted.
Okay.
About the kids, about education. That's his thing. And to my horror, he's drawn a monkey cock and balls official government paper.
Is that what Gove is?
Gove is.
Well, he's in municipal schools, isn't he?
Well, that's de rigueur.
This is what it is, yeah.
And, but I was disgusted
because... you should have been, yeah.
You know, these people, we pay them an awful lot of money not to be drawing...
Cocks and balls, on government paper. A lot of money, in fact,
I was watching...
One of them come out of government the other day.
Come out of government, yeah.
And I thought he had his official briefing papers under his arm. And I thought, stop the video, you know.
Stop the video, I've got my magnifying glass. There's out.
Got that out of my pocket. And I had a look there and I thought, what's this on his briefing papers?
Yes.
And it wasn't his briefing papers at all.
What was it?
It was his briefs. He's coming out of number 10 with an old pair of pants under his arm, not paisley ones. And I thought, what is going on there? And then I thought, no, that's fair enough. He's probably stayed the night there. They're about to work late. And he's probably just had a pair of pants.
He's
had to take his pants with him. Because, you know, if he knew he was going to sleep over, maybe he spent the night there and they had a midnight feast and they watched Prometheus or something. And he's just, changed his pants and going to go home now.
There's only one set of people who do less work than the MPs. Yeah. Quite frankly, that is the weather.
The weather people.
They've got the temerity to stand there every morning. As you say, the MPs have paid a lot of money. Proper big TV stars.
Oh, yeah, big TV stars. And they're
Carol
only
Kirkwood
on, two or three times a day.
Yeah. And... do they ever get it right?
No, they don't. And when they go and get it right, they go, sure, it's the weather, isn't it?
Sorry, it's the weather. But yet,
so it's chaotic.
Know, yeah. And I reckon they're all there. Michael Fish, Ian McCaskill.
Yeah, all that lot. Yeah.
All that lot. Erica Johnson's.
Yeah.
I reckon they're getting an absolute fortune. They do get paid a fortune. They do. And I reckon they go, they'll have a drink up.
Yeah.
They're all at it, doing all that.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got Chris Herbert,
Forever Blind.
I went bubbles. Cheese and wine. Come over here, Mark, let's have some more cheese. You know, it's a party.
And then they all get together and go, what's going on with the weather tomorrow? All right, it's raining in Scotland, everyone's on the same page. One of us is going to look like a right dickhead.
Wake him up, get his face out of those crisps. It's raining in Scotland.
Bit of wind in Wales.
Yeah.
Bit of snow in London. Yeah. And then that's all we need. That's as far as we'll go.
Who's the least pissed who can go on? Carol Kirkwood, she's Welsh.
Well, she don't drink, do she?
No, she don't.
Lucky they have one of them that don't drink.
That's part of it.
They have to have someone.
They get on there and they, it's going to be like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're getting ready for work.
Yeah, putting your rain mac on.
And you go, and at the end of the day, you can't know whether they got it right or not.
Exactly, and that's how they get you.
reckon that's how they get you.
Because you don't know. You don't know. And they always go, oh, yeah, they said it's going to be hot today. No, it's not hot today. Well, next time it isn't hot today, when they said it's going to be hot today, I'm going to have a word with the trade descriptions people.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm going to go to Trading Standards.
Yes.
And I say, listen, I've been sold down the river here.
Yes.
You know, I had a big modelling assignment, so I thought I'll wear no top.
Yeah.
And then it's like pissing down with rain all day.
Yeah.
You know, I lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what these people are like. And they're
frauds. They're charlatans.
Absolute
frauds. I reckon
fraud.
They just like get a load of old chicken bones and wave them in the fire.
It's going to rain,
I reckon.
That's what they do, they're all banging away.
They're
terrible.
Oh,
now, the other thing I wanted to just mention,
yes,
as I know you've got form with this,
also
from the Daily Mail.
Oh, is it the Daily Mail? Okay.
All the best stories are there. Teenage fraudster pretended to be a millionaire to swindle investors. He's been ordered to pay back £26,000.
I wonder if he's going to be able to pay that back.
He'd probably just pretend to be.
Get a student loan.
Yeah,
get a student loan.
£26,000, he swindled £110,000.
Well, that's not bad, then. He's made a profit. He's come out on top.
Not bad.
Well, you have to admire the chutzpah.
His name's Sam Cook, 19. He pretended to be. Not Sam Cook.
Someone else.
Because you pretended to be.
Well, of course, you have to pretend to be people to get into places.
Remember when you... Who do you pretend to be?
Judi Dench.
Yes.
Yeah, I pretended to be Judi Dench so I could get into the premiere of the film...
Parenthood. Was it Parenthood 2?
It was Parenthood 2, yeah. So I said, and I went up the red carpet and Dominic Monaghan
Patrick Monaghan, the stand-up comedian.
Dominic Monaghan.
Oh, he was there.
Yeah, he came up and said, Judy, can I have a word?
He thought, result.
I said, blimey, I'll crack it. Right, I've got to pull this off. And he went, he said, are you looking forward to the film? And I went, oh, yes, I'm looking forward to the film.
Bloody hell, that's uncanny.
Yeah, I know. I said, oh, yes, I'm looking forward to the film. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he said, what's your favourite film? I said, I thought, oh, blimey, I'm in trouble here because, you know, I don't want to get this wrong. So I just off the cuff, I winged it and I went, Raid on Entebbe.
Yes.
You know, because I'm pretty sure she'd be a fan of that.
Yes.
You know, and he went, oh, yeah, no, good film. Yeah, Charles Bronson. Yeah. And then I just, in my dress, I just swanned off into the Parenthood.
And you would have got away if it wasn't for that worm that came
that
out
came
your
up bum. Yeah,
and
someone trod on it.
That's on the red carpet.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have got in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got in.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you've pretended to be loads of people, haven't you?
Do you remember when I pretended to be Matt LeBlanc?
I do remember
Off of Top Gear and Friends.
Yeah, I remember that.
And episodes.
Yeah.
And I went, do you remember I went, it was a top Hollywood thing.
Yeah, but it was just to do something quite innocuous, wasn't it?
It was to open Watford Leisure Centre. They had a new Kung Fu suite.
Yeah.
And they had the mayor of Watford there. And
they wanted to get some star study for that.
And so I got Margaret to say, you phone up and say, I can get some Matt LeBlanc and some cheese.
I'm his agent.
And so I turned up. I said, hey, man, I'm Matt LeBlanc. I've done all these catchphrases.
Yeah, you turned up in the car, done a donut.
And I said, I'm
Matt LeBlanc.
I'm Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, hello, Matt LeBlanc. We'd like you to come and open our new Kung Fu suite.
That's it. I had a wig and everything and all that on. I wore some cowboy outfit,
I had a full shot.
Proper American.
Yeah. All tassels dangling off, yeah?
All dangling off. I had all these catchphrases.
Oh, right.
Friends, I'm
a mate of Chandler.
Yeah, I went, Chandler. I can't remember if it's his brother or his mate. I just went, Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler.
Friends,
yeah,
I went
yeah,
like
that's
that.
It, that's it. Top Gear,
I went, you know, episodes.
They pay you for that, don't they?
I got in.
You got in. I got a kung fu suite.
I got a kung fu suite.
And when you got in there, what was they serving? Like?
Well, I had canapes and because it's Chinese.
You take your own tins in?
I did. I had a couple of tins. And I went round. I had to keep it up for a while. So, our friends.
Yeah, challenge the bing.
Bing, yeah, I went like that.
Challenge the episodes, yeah.
And in the end, I got away with it.
Right.
And I've tried it. I mean, remember when you went as Barbara Windsor? If it wasn't for your beard.
I would have really pulled that off if it wasn't for my beard.
The Buckingham Palace Garden Party you went in.
Yeah, I went there. I got fitted for a beautiful pastel dress.
Yeah, George.
Beautiful. George, yeah, they come round, they fitted me, you know, and I thought, right, well, if I can pull the wool over George's eyes, George Ramesh's eyes, then I could probably pull it over the Queen's eyes as well, you know. And they fitted me for this beautiful three-piece pastel number, you know, and I had it all on and that, and I had my high heels on, and I sort of wiggled down the road, you know, going like that, you know.
That's what she does.
That's what she.
And then you go.
And I'll get to the goats and say, yes, I'm Barbara Windsor.
Yes.
You know, and I said, are you sure you're not Judy Dench? I said, no, I know I'm Barbara Windsor.
Yeah.
And then I had my head down and I just looked up at the last minute and they grabbed hold of the back of my pastel dress, you know, and pulled that down. They pulled my. Pulled my pastel dress down. It was short. I was wearing Superman boxer shorts.
Oh,
and
dear.
And they said, hold on a minute.
Yes.
Barbara Windsor wouldn't wear these. She'd wear knickers, you know?
Yes.
And then they saw my beard and they said, innit?
All the other one, they went,
That's it. And then the worm came out of my bum.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I thought, this is definitely not you, Barbara.
It's like, not this worm again.
Yeah.
We managed to stop this fella getting into the cinema. Worm has been the bane of your life getting into top places.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for that worm, I'd have got into a lot of these big places. I'd have got into the UN, The Hague.
I mean, back in the old days, the glory days, people like Gable. Gable and all that. All the 50 stars, very handsome.
All the tashes.
I would always pretend to be them. Yeah, I got into all sorts of places
Beautiful.
And I used to take Margaret and pretend she was Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, did you?
Sort of thing. I'd go...
drag her in by the horn.
Drag her in and I say, this is Marilyn Monroe. Do the song.
Happy birthday to you, Mr. President.
Yeah, she would do all that. And they go, are you?
You really are.
Really, Marilyn Monroe? Right. And, you know, I'd say, well, you know, the cameras change your appearance in real life.
They put £20 on you and they put a horn on your head and a tail.
And I said, okay, Marilyn. Of course, she didn't have that big chin and all that neck fat. You don't see that in the film.
No, you don't, because they airbrush it out.
That's right. But I said, you know, originally it wasn't called Some Like It Hot. It was called Some Like It Fat. And, you know, so they went, oh, all right,
okay,
you know.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I got into many a kung fu suite in the 50s.
That's when it was getting big, wasn't
getting
it?
Getting very, very big.
Chuck Norris.
And, and it was, in fact, she probably could have got in as Chuck Norris more than Marilyn Monroe, really. Now, look, we're doing a show.
Oh, we're doing a show.
Doing a show.
We're doing a show on May the 13th at the Underbelly.
Yes.
Which is in the South Banks.
Yes.
And if you want to go and see the show, then book tickets at www. udderbelly.co.uk.
I think so.
And then when you get on their website, just look up Angela Simperi. She'll direct you all the way.
Proper show. Or go shot. Live Nation.
Oh, go Live Nation.
Go Live Nation.
They'll probably point you. Or write a letter to them.
Yeah, whatever. But do come 13th of May. And then we're on tour.
Oh, we're on tour. Yes.
And we should have had a list of dates. We're going Hartford. We're going where? Brighton.
We're going Mozambique.
Going Mozambique.
We're going Chad, Switzerland. We're going Saturn.
We're going all over.
Yeah, Birmingham. Well, Nottingham.
Where are we going? Birmingham. I don't know, all over the place. But
yes.
please come and see. That's in the autumn.
Oh, that's in the autumn.
No,
but get your tickets now because it will sell out.
Yeah.
And this is going to be like a proper show.
We're right
in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
God help us.
How long have we done, Leon?
Leon's coughing.
40 bloody minutes.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's
everyone.
That is enough.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
Dismissed.
Dismissed. Stand down, everybody. See you next time. Bye bye. Bye bye.
This is a Playback Media production served to you in association with Why Not Think People.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.